Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Will I eat?
Back here on 96.5 The Fan on a Wednesday. I'm telling you, man, I say this all the time, but I'm still just baffled. When I woke up this morning, I was like, good Lord, Ben Maller tomorrow? It's already Wednesday.
I know, you do this every week.
I know, dude.
Yeah, every week. I know when I wake up on Wednesday morning, I'm like, Dusty's going to come in on Wednesday. We only got 2 days left. It's almost Friday. We got Ben Maller tomorrow. You start to see the end in sight of the week, the Thanksgiving holiday, the big game on Sunday, all the kind of stuff, you know, that everybody has going on this weekend and next weekend and all that kind of stuff.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Get excited about it, man.
We all do.
Get excited about the holiday.
I get it every Wednesday. I wake up and the same thing.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday already. Where the hell did the week go?
What day of the week is it?
Well, I
think it's Wednesday.
Yeah. Was that Jay or was that caller guy that called in? You know, because it could be either one, right?
I'm just glad he called Mac back. It was like, man, I thought it was funny. You guys are doing that. It's hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody on the text line was thinking that we were asshats because they thought we were making fun of him and they were giving him all this like medical diagnosis and all this stuff. And then the guy calls Mac back and goes, you guys are fine. Actually, if you want, you can send me that. I think it's hilarious. I'm going to share it with my family. I just hadn't had my coffee yet.
You guys are a bunch of jerks. We're making fun of that guy. Here's the reality.
Yeah.
He actually loved it.
Here's the reality. Humor's okay. Start embracing humor again. Stop being sticks in the mud.
And stop also like...
You're offending me. Put your get offended pants back in the closet.
Like everyone was like, that guy has dementia. A, you don't know who that guy is. B, you have no idea if that's true or not. C, he called Mac back and was in like tears of laughter.
Right, so, laughing. I had a guy with dementia in the neighborhood yesterday. That's tough, man. The guy was standing in front of my house yesterday. I'm like, are you lost? And he's like, I think so. I'm like, oh, no.
Dang.
I go, who are you looking for, man? He goes, I'm looking for Ernie. Do you know where Ernie is? I'm like, yeah, I do. He's three houses down. Let's go. And this guy, he was kind of going in and out of, you know, where he was in life and reality and all that kind of stuff. And was a Vietnam vet and was starting to tell stories about being in Vietnam and all this kind of stuff. And what, and then he'd kind of try to find his wife. And it was it was sad. I was heartbroken that this guy didn't kind of know where he was. So I found Ernie, and Ernie's another, Marine, former retired Marine. Shout out Ernie on my block and all the retired Marines. And Ernie came out, man. You wonder how the military shapes you as a human being. Ernie's probably in his 70s now, now, right? And he came out, and you could see the Marine guy take over for this other Marine guy and hook up with him and go, I got him. And he says, you go home now. You take care of you. What you need to do at home, I've got this guy. I'm going to take care of him. We're going to put him in the car. We're going to take him to his house. We're going to find his wife. It was awesome to watch. I just felt so bad for this guy standing on the street not knowing where the hell he was, man. It broke my heart yesterday.
Yeah, and that gets me.
Society still has a chance.
Yeah, it does.
So I brought this up yesterday in our post-production meeting because it just like hit me like a, you know, like a bee in the lip if you're Cody. And the Colts have always kind of been that thorn in the side of the Chiefs. Mac did a good job of putting their records up here. The Colts lead 18-10 all time.
That's crazy to me.
Wow, 4-1 in the playoffs, and the last time they played was 2022, and the Colts won 20-17.
That was the regular season game with Chris Jones saying something.
Man, he must have said something bad.
You think somebody will ask him this week, what'd you say to Matt Ryan on that Colts game?
Man, we'll get to that a different time of my career. But the playoff history, 96, first Chiefs game I ever went to as a child, 9 years old. 10-7, lost in the divisional round. 2004, Colts won 38-31. 2007, Colts won 23-8. 2014, the Colts won 45-44. We all remember that game. Chiefs did win in 2019, 31-13 in the divisional round. That was the last game that Andrew Luck would ever play in the NFL. I think this is time that you reverse history. If you want to continue to prove people wrong, like myself, that this team is still capable of being that team that we've seen under the Mahomes era, now the Colts are basically you in the past, and you are the Colts, right? Now you get to go play, spoiler, you get to go be the thorn in the Colts' side. The Colts come into this game 8-2, coming off a bye, seeing what happened to the Chiefs the last 2 weeks they've played. They've lost to Buffalo. They've lost to Denver. They probably learn like, hey, they're not a threat to our one seed, but guess who is? All these other people that are around, like the Denver Broncos, like the Buffalo Bills. They still have fighting chances, like the New England Patriots. So, yes, there's pressure for the Colts to win this game because they're doing something the Chiefs have always done. We've got to win this game because we've got to continue to race for our number one seed because we want everything to go through our stadium. Now the Chiefs are 5-5, fighting for their playoff chances, playing a team that has a better record, coming to Arrowhead at noon, and the Chiefs can be the thorn in the side. And I think there's a big key to this. I think the most important person in this game is Steve Spagnuolo because you are going to get the exact same offense Buffalo ran against you. I understand that Josh Allen is not the quarterback Daniel Jones is. Massive advantage for Steve Spagnuolo. I believe Daniel Jones has been sacked 12 times in his last two games. I apologize. And Jonathan Taylor, can we all agree that he's better than James Cook? Do we think Buffalo saw what James Cook did or Indianapolis saw what James Cook did against this defense? That offensive line for the Indianapolis Colts is stellar. It is good, America. But they are giving up sacks, and they are letting pressure get to Daniel Jones. And like Binkley had mentioned, he turns the ball over.
Yeah.
He fumbles the ball a ton, like 7 times this year. And if you can do that and you can disguise stuff and they can't recognize it like Bo Nix did in Denver and on the 3rd-and-15 play with 2:03 left in the game, this is a big Spags game. Because the other thing, too, why I say it reminds me of Buffalo, great running back, fantastic tight end. We'll see what happens, but I think the most important person in this game is not necessarily Mahomes or Kelsey or Taylor or anybody. I think it's Spags.
Well, and I also think, you know, Spags does have to have a big day because you mentioned the tight end, you mentioned the running back as well, two things that have absolutely killed this team, but they need to play their best going forward. There's no more room to not play your best, and that means you have to change things up. I thought Spags' first play of the game on Sunday was the best play call he had. The corner blitz with Connor coming in, like nobody saw that one coming on the first play of the game. That was it.
Yeah.
And then we didn't get much more after that. And I think my biggest concern right now is the predictability stuff that we've been talking about all week. I fear that if the Chiefs give up a big play, the next play is going to be even bigger because Spags always blitzes after they give up a big play. So this operation, if I know that, the Indianapolis Colts and everybody else in the league knows that. So he's going to send the blitz after a big play. They can probably go up over the top. And so you have to start disguising your stuff a little bit, both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively. They have to disguise things. But I think for me, I'm going to kind of take yours as like, the opposite way. I'm going to go, as Binkley said, and kind of add to it with Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts. We saw him kind of have that kryptonite for Patrick Mahomes when he was the Bengals defensive coordinator in that AFC championship game. And kind of the subplot to this is Lou Anarumo is the guy that I'm watching the most, but it also has that direct impact on Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes can't let frustration make him try to be Superman and throw interceptions in the red zone. Like, we can't have Patrick Mahomes get visibly frustrated by Lou Anarumo's defense and go to the sidelines and, you know, throw the helmet or be upset and all that kind of stuff, because that doesn't work. That's a win for the opposition. You need to be cool, you need to be calm, and you need to be collected. And when bad things happen, Patrick, don't compound those bad things by trying to make a big-time play when that big-time play isn't there. Save that big-time play. Throw that ball out of bounds. Run it. Do whatever you have to do to not compound a bad play turning into two bad plays. And I think Lou Anarumo is going to try to frustrate him mentally, get after him, you know, from that kind of standpoint, get inside his head. They can't let that happen. And you can't get frustrated when things don't go your way. You have to get back on the sidelines and go, okay, it didn't go our way on that drive. Let's figure it out. Let's not try to do stuff and make plays that aren't there for the sake of trying to make plays that aren't there and then risk turning the football over.
I also think this is a very important game for the offense, because I think it is like that trickle down effect. Because if you can take away the run, obviously, by scoring points, we've seen this before in the past where when the Chiefs can get up on teams that do depend on their running backs as a crutch for their offense, they tend to steer away from that. But I also don't want this to be one of those Super Bowl games like it was against the Philadelphia Eagles, where you focus everything on the running back and then you let somebody like Jalen Hurts or Daniel Jones beat you. And all right. Of a sudden it's like, see, Daniel Jones can do it. What'd they say to the Super Bowl? What'd we say to the Super Bowl? Maybe like Jalen Hurts should be in the conversation as like a top 10, maybe top 5 quarterback. Mm-hmm. That has dissipated fast over this season.
Well, the last 2 weeks it's dissipated.
But when you look at what that has happened, where it's like, what's Saquon Barkley going to do? And then we're all sitting there in New Orleans going, I guess we forgot Jalen Hurts can actually throw the ball sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened against the Chiefs. So we'll see what happens. This is true. I did a bad job last night, but I did it on purpose. I refused to go past 717 on the dock, because I want to be surprised with who's in the max pack, and I want to be surprised in who's Bob's.
That's why I keep mine on my book, so you can't see it ahead of time.
So I haven't seen any of it. We get into it, and it's one word. It's Mac. It's Bob. Yeah, we'll do all that next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It's time for Max Pack.
Oh boy. By the way, real quick, I know this is really off topic.
Yeah.
I want to buy a Ring camera for my front door. Okay. Do I have to like rewire that into my house?
We do not have ours wired because we're A, lazy, and B, don't know how to do it, and C, don't want to deal with it. So you have to charge it, and you can put it outside, but then it loses its charge. So you have to kindly keep it charged.
So I need to wire.
Yeah. Okay. It's best to have an electrician come out. Don't you do it. You'll shock yourself and be dead.
Yeah, they probably can do it pretty easy, yes, pretty quick. I imagine that's one of their
I need an
most
electrician.
Done.
DM me and let's hook this thing up. I thought they were like super expensive. They're like $40.
Yeah, you just go on Amazon. I think that's Amazon it. Is it.
Yeah, dude.
They're nothing.
I guess that makes sense.
Because I get a lot of DoorDashes when I'm not home, or I get a lot of Amazon packages. I do destroy the boxes. Yeah. And I was just wondering, like, I wonder how much a Ring camera is. And then I saw it and I was like, you know what? I kind of want one of these, but I wondered if you had to wire it.
You do. Yeah. I mean, we have it where it's not, and 90% of the time the thing doesn't work, you know, because we don't have it charged. It runs out of battery, and then, like, you're gone or whatever, and then you needed it because you're not at home. You want to see, and it's not working. And so, yeah, you should have it wired, and so should we. I don't know why we never did, but my wife's just like, whatever. I'm like,
Solar charge on the Ring, it'll keep it charged.
Oh, really?
It's very easy to hook up. One wire. You can do it yourself, Dusty. Or whoever wants to come do it for me, I'll have beer on ice and we can just have sports steaks and you can find out where I live. I'm serious. No fear. All right. I haven't looked. Mac, take it away.
Bob, should I start at number one or number five? What do you think?
I would start wherever your little heart desires. As the dad, I'm going to let you make your decision.
Okay, that's a risk.
It is.
Well, let's start with the team that I chose to be in the Super Bowl for the season, that not named Kansas City on the NFC side. They are my number one team. It's the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay.
I think they've got the MVP of the league right now. And yes, I believe it probably should be Jonathan Taylor, but we know the way this award works, right?
What should happen and what does happen are completely different things. We've had a lot of those conversations behind the scenes this week. What should happen and what does happen are two completely different things.
Not just in the football world, just in life, too. So the LA Rams, number one, I've talked about that defense is getting better and better. And the offense is just so high octane. They can run the ball both well with Kyren Williams and Blake Corum has come on. And they have the best wide receiver duo in the National Football League with a great head coach and quarterback combo as well. They've done it. They've been there. They've won the Super Bowl before. This core, that head coach, that quarterback, that matters a lot to me. The Buffalo Bills, they haven't won the Super Bowl. They haven't been to one, but they've been to AFC Championship games. They've beaten the Chiefs. They've beaten other good teams. They probably won't win their division. I don't think they will, which is a minus against them. They're going to have to go on the road, but I trust them to do that.
They've done well on the road before. Yeah. Every time they come to Arrowhead in the playoffs, it's been great.
Yeah. It's really just Arrowhead, though. To your point, they've gone to Baltimore. Cincinnati, I guess they've had some issues with, but really they're not going to be scared to go to Indianapolis or New England,
Nobody is, in my opinion.
Yeah. Number three, the Philadelphia Eagles. They can do everything better than anyone else can. You know, maybe someone can pass, someone can run better than, but do all of those things combined, they're just the most well-rounded team. And I think defensively, they're healthy. They're back. Jalen Carter is healthy, and that defensive line is by far the best unit in football.
It's really good. The problem is their fans suck.
I think so. Yeah, the fans.
I heard about it again. Like, we were watching the game on Sunday with some folks, and even then, I'm still hearing from people 11 months later how rotten Philadelphia fans were in New Orleans to them at the Super Bowl. And I'm like, yeah, we all experienced that. Isn't that sad? Like, I don't know why Philadelphia wears it as a badge of honor. Everybody else thinks you're jerks.
They're like, oh, yeah, we know. We're on.
Yeah, no, like, that's not a badge of honor. Yeah. That's like, well, maybe we should change. We're not liked by others.
You guys booed Santa. Number four, the Detroit Lions, running the ball starting right about now, right about Thanksgiving on until into the playoffs. If you are able to run the football and take a 7 or 8 minute drive, maybe not run the football necessarily, but that's the most common way to take a long drive and really own a quarter. The Lions can do that. And we saw them struggle this last week. Didn't really get going till the second half.
The Chiefs are just calling me right now. I'm sorry to interrupt. They're saying, what does run the ball mean?
All right, that brings us to number five. Rounding out Max Pack, I had a lot of trouble with this because the New England Patriots have been fantastic, right? I think they're going to win that division. But who have they really beaten other than the Buffalo Bills? Not really all their fault. You play who's on your schedule.
Tampa Bay on the road in bad conditions.
Bad conditions?
It was like raining.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They also weren't healthy. I mean, but you're right. No, Tampa Bay, we'll give them it. It's solid. They just have not. It's not necessarily fair. But until they go do it against someone, which they won't have that opportunity really all season. They play Buffalo again, and I don't think they'll win that game. That's their one opportunity.
So they'll lose to Buffalo at home, but they'll beat Buffalo in Buffalo?
I believe so.
Huh.
I believe so. And then the Indianapolis Colts, similar thing here. Like, they can get into this list this weekend, but for right now, number five is still the Kansas City Chiefs because they have been there and they have done that. Tell me another team that you trust more than the Kansas City Chiefs once the playoff starts. You don't trust the Colts. You don't trust the Patriots more. There's not an NFC team. We just saw who the Seahawks really are. When push comes to shove, they played a Super Bowl contender in their division. The Rams had their way with them. Defensively, they got it going in the second half, but that was a top five defense that we've all touted as a high, high octane unit. They weren't able to stop the Rams in that first half. The Chiefs have done more in the past than the Colts and the Patriots, and I think that matters a lot for this list. The Colts can get on the slips. They win this Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I think you're.
I'm holding Pat. I'm holding Pat. It's week 10.
I know 11. You're my son, but like father son, we're on the same page. The page is just confusing because yes, I do believe the Chiefs should be on your top five list because I do believe they can win the Super Bowl. But when they're 5-5 and people say to me, "Why are they 5-5?" I don't know what the answer to that question is, other than lack of details.
Yeah,
and
details.
That goes back to coaching, right? It's one thing for Aaron Glenn to have lack of details as a rookie NFL head coach and his team to be sloppy, or Abdul Carter sleeping during meetings all year long and Brian Daboll doing nothing about it and whatnot. Andy Reid coached teams have no business being a team that does things that Aaron Glenn led teams do. Penalties, turnovers, not playing smart brand of football. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. If this team ends up on the outside looking into the postseason, it will be the Jacksonville game and the Denver game that I go back to. Mm. And it's not because of Jawan Taylor or it's because the defense gave up a third and 15. To me, what it comes back down to is turnovers in the red zone and penalties. And in both of those games, they had penalties and turnovers in the red zone. That's why they're 5-5. And an Andy Reid coach team should not be on the same level with that kind of stuff as an Aaron Glenn coach team. And so they're 5-5. The biggest reason, not disciplined enough. And that starts at the top. Yeah, that starts at the top.
The disrespect for the Patriots is kind of insane.
Listen, I had them worst to first. I'm the biggest Drake May fan in this building. I love them.
They're plus 86 in point differential. You talk about teams that can do it. I mean, the leader on their team, the guy that has revamped that entire organization over the last couple of years, and Mike Vrabel, knows all too well what you have to do and where you need to go and where you need to be when it comes to playoff football, especially in New England.
And I think, and to take Dusty's point to the next level, if the Patriots were 9-2 and Lou Anarumo was their head coach, I'd be like, meh. They're 9-2 with Vrabes. That's legit. Like, that's a real head football coach.
They will lose back-to-back to the Bills and the Ravens.
And they probably will, yeah. And we'll see. We'll see what happens when they get there. All right, my bottom feeders this week. I'm going to start with the Tennessee Titans, worst team in the NFL at this point in time. I don't know what direction they're headed. I don't know where they're going, what they're going to do. If they're going to keep Cam Ward or they're going to take the kid from Indiana at number one overall, they got a lot of question marks that they need to kind of solve. So they're the worst team in the NFL, followed up by the New Orleans Saints, as we talked about earlier. Tyler Shuck is going to be the quarterback. Did I say his name right? Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, don't shuck it up, man.
He's going to be the guy that's playing quarterback this weekend for the Saints. The Cleveland Browns come in as the third worst team in the NFL because it just reminds me of Todd Haley, Scott Pioli, and the entire thing that was going on here when that thing crumbled to the ground. And there are people who want Shador to play, people who don't want Shador. They're just not on the same page with anything inside that organization. You got an owner who's a jackass. You got a GM that's, you know, doing whatever he does, drafting Shador Sanders. You paid a that is an organization that literally goes into work every morning, and everybody has their own agenda, and nobody talks to find one common lane. So the Cleveland Browns are on the list. The Giants come in as the fourth worst team right now in the NFL because, again, we don't know if Jackson Dart's going to play. You got an interim coach and the whole nine yards there, and they've been a flat-out mess. You got players sleeping in meetings. Nobody's doing anything about that. The whole place needs to be cleaned out. And then finally, the Jets. You know, they're still the Jets, and they'll always be the Jets until they're not the Jets. And so they are the fifth worst team, in my opinion, right now in the NFL, an undisciplined team, an undisciplined coach. I know they won a couple of games, but now you're switching quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. The best part about that is Aaron Glenn has never said each week who his quarterback's going to be. It got out this week. I can't wait to see Aaron Glenn yell at the media today. And when you treat the media like that, you do make the top five of, you know, bad teams in the NFL.
Chiefs not in the bottom feeder yet?
No. No, not if they lose. They're not in the bottom five, no.
Okay.
They're definitely not in Max Pack if they lose.
Yeah, if they lose, they're not, sure. And they're probably not in the playoffs, but Max Pack.
I think they should still be in right now.
Well, remember what his is. Teams he believes can win the Super Bowl.
Yep. He's going to be a playoff team first.
I understand that, but that's not his thing. It's who he believes.
Week 12, every team in this is a playoff team.
Are the Lions?
I don't know.
They might be.
As I said, the Lions are not a playoff team.
Yeah. They're not. They're on the outside looking in.
And again,
they'll
be in. I believe that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm trying to think here. Standings overall wild card. The Lions are 6-4 on the outside looking in because of that stupid tie that the Packers have hanging on.
Yeah, so. That's right. Yeah.
And because the Bears are just winning these games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seattle, Green Bay, San Francisco. Those are your three teams. San Francisco's done it. They can do it. They're a playoff team. They got Brock Purdy back, and the happiest person in the room with that is George Kittle. Watch that connection go up.
Yeah, that's a good connection.
Yeah.
Very good connection. For some reason, Purdy and Kittle work like Kelsey and Mahomes. Like, it's just that they have each other now, and I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But
Max Pack has no credibility if you're putting the Chiefs in the top five. Listen, that's fine if you think that. Tell me who – I don't want to hear they shouldn't be in the top five. Tell me who is in it instead.
Well, Dusty did. He told you New England should be in.
New England, San Francisco, Seattle.
San Francisco, come on. San Francisco, you think San Francisco is more likely to win the Super Bowl than the Chiefs?
They're in the playoffs.
But you guys are talking about apples to oranges right now. Mac is the five teams, regardless of the standings, who he thinks have the best chance to win the Super Bowl. You're going based on standings.
But that's not it in Mac's reasoning. It's also teams that have proven it in the past that they can do that. San Francisco does have that proof in the past. I mean, do they not? They have the same running back that was in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. They have the same head coach that was in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
That defense is just so much different. So much different.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, again, they're going to get Ayuk back soon. They have Kittle.
They are not.
He's out for the season?
That's what I last read.
Back week 12.
That's what I last read because he's on my fantasy team.
Nice.
I'd like to have him back.
And then I go to New England. I mean, I think that Foxborough is a huge advantage in the playoffs. I think Mike Vrabel knows everything that he has to do. I mean, hell, he had Tennessee there. He's done it in Tennessee. Yep. He's back in New England. He's doing it in New England. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's plenty of facts I'm giving you. I just... 5-5. We'll see. Look, I'm not trying to gain hatred. I'm just trying to be like the most honest and real person I am. Because if I were to sit here and be like, I was with the Royals, like, I think everyone thought I was a clown. They're like, you're just doing this because you want to believe, because I did believe they would get there. They were there the entire season. The Chiefs were 5-5, and they're two games out of the wild card.
What gave you the belief with the Royals, but not the belief with the Chiefs? Because the Chiefs have the benefit of the doubt. The Royals don't have the benefit of the doubt at this point in time, right? The Royals haven't proven that they are a playoff team every single year like the Chiefs have. So why did you feel that way for the Royals, but you don't feel about that way for a team that's been there for the last 8 to 10 years?
Because of the length of the season. If the Chiefs were... I don't know, if the Chiefs were 7-5 right now, I would feel a lot better because they'd actually have a winning record and be going that way. The Royals, you know, they were in the playoffs until the very last week of the season, until they were mathematically eliminated. They also were like one game back, they were a half game out, and then Cleveland was doing their thing, then Detroit started to do their thing. And so it just, the length of the baseball, plus I saw that this team had everything together they wanted to do. They were pitching. And they stayed healthy. And there was a little bit more belief. Right now, this team is 5-5, and I think there's more problems than what we're seeing on the field, in my personal opinion.
Well, I think when you have, you know, the play that we've seen, when you have the undisciplined nature of play that we've seen as well, it's fair to say that.
One word time, baby.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. 1, 2, 3.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
1, 2, 3.
Oatmeal raisin. The Chiefs win this Sunday. They're in everyone's max pack, so everyone can come down on that, but...
I agree with you on that, yeah.
It's just the way this works. One word. KU Duke last night. Champions Classic, I believe, is what they call it. No Darren Peterson. Duke won. I believe they did not cover the spread. One word on KU Duke last night.
Well, sex, because I had it and went to bed.
I just want to win, Jim. You dog.
It was Tuesday.
Yep.
I just want to win, Jim.
Yeah. That's great. Early.
Yeah, that's another good one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like my sex life. Early and not often. It's early, man. It's Duke. It's Kansas. This is all about, I guess the other word you could use is an acronym, which would be RPI. This is one of those things when Kansas is like 22-11 at the end of the season. Everyone's like, why are they a 3 seed? Well, they played Duke. They played North Carolina. They played UConn. Yeah. Bill knows how to stack early, and he knows that if you win or lose, it doesn't matter. You have to have a strength of schedule for college basketball to get somewhere productive in March Madness tournament. So, again, it's early or RPI.
Yeah, and that's a good way to look at it, right? People aren't going to remember the result of these games, but at least you get these type of games, you know, instead of, Winged Foot State versus you or East Toenail State or some of these teams that you just don't care about. Green Bay, Wisconsin, I know. You know, Bill threw a bone up there to that dope up there who coaches that team. But, you know, you want to see these games. And so it's better. It's more entertaining for the fan than it is to play some of these other, you know, directional schools.
Ja'Marr Chase being fined over $500,000 after that thick loogie spit in Jalen Ramsey's chest, face, torso area. One word.
Small. Should have been more. You know, and he should have got his ass kicked, too. Like, you know what they should have said? We're not going to have you fined. We're going to have Jalen Ramsey with a free shot on you in front of the fans at midfield before the game. and he's going to get an opportunity to destroy you. So I think small. It's small man for doing something like that. Clearly, Ja'Marr Chase is a small human being for spitting on another man. So that's the word I'll use.
Unprofessional or expensive would be my two one words. Yeah. Expitive, you could say, because it was 500 plus G's.
I got five on it.
Yeah, you got a week off, Ja'Marr. Congratulations. But yeah, just stupid, man.
150,000.
Yeah, he doesn't even have that. But again, this is what happens. Like, what do we call the NFL? A copycat league. Jalen Carter did it. It was a kicked out of the game and played the next game. It was, I think, what we could say was a slap on the wrist type of penalty, right? 10 weeks later, another guy, hawking loogies and spitting, and we're still talking about it. I mean, we're talking about spitting the NFL more than we were talking about torpedo bats in the Major League Baseball.
It's true. Yeah, because that torpedo bat thing was the biggest, like, scam. I don't know what it was. Biggest overreaction that we've had in sports. And
seriously, that was weird.
I mean, that was like 3 days of people losing their minds, and then the weekend happened, and Monday came, and nobody talked about it again. It was really weird.
Also really weird, this story with Lane Kiffin, it keeps going, and it's now a realtor story.
This is NBA-ish type of stuff.
This is exactly it. The most, this is from Barstool Sports, the most expensive house in Gainesville, Florida, seems to have gone under contract yesterday. One word on this Lane Kiffin drama.
I saw Colin Saunders yesterday at the airport. He might be coming to
right. Exactly. He did sign with somebody. I love
Jacksonville.
Jets. Yeah. Oh. I love a good realtor story. I love I got a friend who's a realtor who knows what's going on. So-and-so's wife was looking at houses and looking at schools. They are tales as old as time for that. And so my one word is love, because they said that Lane Kiffin, not Lane Kiffin, but the most expensive house in Gainesville went off the market yesterday. And it was Dan Mullen's old house. And so people are connecting the dots that the most expensive house in Gainesville, Florida, was just sold to Lane Kiffin's wife as she was down there looking at houses or whatever the case may be. So love is for me, because a good realtor story, a good spotted at the airport story, I got a guy who works at the store story, or the Uber driver who got this guy in his car. I saw him at
the bar at Smokehouse. He must be coming to Kansas City.
Right, yes, yeah. I love a good I got a guy story. They're so wonderful.
Yeah, drama, dude. I love it. He's the biggest name that's been linked to any job. Now, how great is it going to be when we get Lane Kiffin gets a contract extension with Ole Miss and he's staying put? It's like, oh, crap. Like, I guess we'll go get that Drinkwitz guy in Columbia. Because, I mean, if I'm Columbia, I'm really watching this Lane Kiffin drama.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Right? Like, that's the one area where I'm like, okay, what's he doing?
Out of the conversation? Is he still the odds-on favorite for Penn State now?
I think we're waiting for this to happen.
Is this what's going to happen?
I think, in my personal opinion, I mean, I'm not as tuned into college football as maybe Drew or Mac might be, or Binkley, but I would assume that that's what everybody's doing. Now, Virginia Tech, they were like, dude, we're taking James Franklin. We don't care. This is great for our school. Yeah. I think it's a good hire for Virginia Tech.
I do, too. I think it's a nice hire. Stupid on his part to get $40 million
right,
back.
Now Penn State's only paying him $9 million.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think once this domino falls, which, again, I kind of go back to Mac's point yesterday, like, this is kind of unfair to the kids at Ole Miss, where they're like, all right, man, like, I'm a junior. Think about coming back next year. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you soon. Like, let's have a decision sooner than later. You say Monday was the deadline for
Friday? I thought they said.
I think the Egg Bowl. Yeah.
Egg Bowl's a week from Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see. I mean, but this is the drama. This feels like NBA, dude.
I love it. 100%. It's entertaining. Exactly. It's great entertainment.
Where's Doc Rivers going to go?
Yeah. No, it's fun. But in the NBA, and you know, that happens like that, it's just done, right? College, they will drag this out, obviously, a little bit, because look, in college sports and pro sports, we start coaching rumors before the first game's even played.
Yeah, you got people showing up at private airports with their phones. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. No, this is great. Last one before we get out of here. Breaking news yesterday. We're getting 6 edible mascots this year at the Pop-Tart Bowl. 3 will be on Team Sprinkles. 3 will be on Team Swirls. Fans get to vote on which mascot team to sacrifice to Mouth Heaven At the game's end, it's the biggest edible mascot sacrifice ever. One word.
Garage.
God, I was going to say 3-2-1.
Were you really? Yeah. Okay.
Damn, I was looking at you the whole time.
I was just sitting here listening.
I was about to say, are you ready to do this? 3-2-1, garage.
Garage.
Yeah.
Reading that with a straight face was hard.
Have you guys ever experienced with edible underwear?
No, I
haven't. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
So you have?
Yeah.
Okay. Went from pleading the fifth to guilty.
I was in college in the 90s.
Did you put it on or was it already on?
No.
Can you give us the setting? Like, was it like, did she like say, hey,
it was
by the way,
there's a joke type thing. You know?
Okay. I thought she dropped the skirt and was like, that's licorice. Get busy.
No, it was Priscilla's, now Cirilla's. Back in the day, it was Priscilla's. Now it's Cirilla's. It was a joke thing back in the day.
Respect to them because they still keep a handicap spot.
There we go.
Yeah. Got the little ramp right there to get into the door. I think so. But you would think that, like, there's no laws with, like, a novelty store. I don't know. Just something that happens to go through my brain when I drive by it.
They create the laws. Hey, novelty stores, you're going to be able to skip out on these. you're free.
Are you guys wheelchair accessible? We are.
Yeah.
Come on into Cirilla's. I wonder what their, like, grass pad song would be.
And drink is the favorite, by the way.
Still the favorite to go to Penn State. Yeah,
plus 150. Brent Key. Plus.
But he's not a 1-to-1 favorite anymore.
No, 150.
Okay.
Brent Key plus 300.
I'm sure.
So he says, I'm probably in the minority, but I think the Pop-Tarts thing is really stupid. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's so awesome. Funny.
Remember when they put him in the toaster?
I think it's great.
Did you just witness a murder?
I think I that's the stuff that bothers me. Like, I think that's stupid. No, that's called fun.
By the way, Mac, you've got an enemy on the text line.
Oh, okay.
Your buddy who said that Mahomes should be traded has responded.
Oh, well, let's get to that on the next segment. I love it.
Hit the break.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Somebody says, Cirilla's, we're high on ass. Yeah, Mike's off. Yeah. All right, Mac. Public enemy number one is the text line because they fired back because you found their tweet yesterday of trading Mahomes would be the way to go with this franchise. Do you have the text of the paragraph that was sent in?
Oh, yeah. We got a novel in response.
Oh, good. All right. So, but set people up who don't know who were here at, like, 6:15 or whatever, and we read this originally on the air. So we need to set that up for those folks so they kind of are part of the conversation.
Yep.
And then we've got the retort, you said?
This is the retort, and we do now know that it is a 913 number.
Okay.
So this is what he texted in yesterday, and we decided to hold off. It was near the end of the
season. Wait, hang on a second. It's from the 913, you said?
Yes,
so
sir.
He's hoping the Chiefs tank so they can move to Kansas.
It's all part of his plan.
Yes.
It's
all a part of everything that he's trying to do, like the Cleveland Indians trying to tank to move to Tampa on Major League. This is this guy's way of trying to get the Chiefs to tank so they move to Kansas.
Exactly right. He's got a weird way about it, though, because this was his text yesterday. We decided to hold it off till this morning, and so we read it in the 6 o'clock hour. This was the first text. Besides the front office and coaching chains, it's an unpopular opinion, but this realization hit me on Sunday. Mahomes' claim to fame is his arm, and his arm is done. Not to mention the knee injury, all the ankle injuries in the postseason, they've taken their toll. In the next season or two at most, if not this offseason, the Chiefs need to consider trading Patrick Mahomes. He's damaged goods. I don't know how much the rest of the league knows that. They need to sell high on Mahomes ASAP. They need to rebuild from the front office to the coaching to the production on the field, which is all aged out.
Okay, so I will say this. Mahomes is overthrowing receivers the other day. I'm not really concerned about his arm. Honestly, if you say, are you concerned with something? I'm more concerned with his decision-making than I am anything else. I don't think his decision-making has been great this year. That's the concern for me. It's nothing else, but needless to say, that's one of the more ridiculous texts we went through at all. This morning, you can go grab the podcast and see our true thoughts on that, which are, you can guess what most of them are. Like, this guy's an idiot.
What the hell is going on?
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking
about. So then just about 20 minutes ago, he came back. He retorted. So here he is. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mock me if you dare about my trade Mahomes take.
Okay, we will.
People are emotional beings and attached to past success and what people have done for them. But history's on my side. We saw this in Philly with Reed. He went 9-8, 3-14 because he lost the locker room.
It's not Mahomes.
Agreed. He lost the locker room because his plays were predictable. The players didn't respect his authority and just didn't listen to him. I remember the Thigpens, Matt Castle, Dave Krieg, Bonos, etc. But Mahomes has regressed, and two big factors to his regression, change in OC, and he and his main weapons have aged out, as well as this defense.
Change in OC. Andy Reid's been here since 2013.
And the only old weapon is Travis Kelce. The rest of these guys are new,
all
young.
All these guys are young. The offensive line's young. They've invested in that.
Father Time's undefeated, and to sustain a dynasty, you have to get rid of players a year early rather than a year too late.
I don't disagree with that at all. I totally agree with that, but we're not talking about the quarterback here. We're talking about the decision-making that the quarterback is making. And, you know, Mitchell Schwartz had this thing yesterday about the first play of the game. It looked like a great play to Rashee Rice, but Patrick Mahomes making that play missed a great handoff to Kareem Hunt that could have ended up being a touchdown if Patrick Mahomes had better decision-making. And that's where I'm concerned with right now. That's why I hate the RPO at this point in time, because I don't think right now, at this point of where we are, Patrick Mahomes needs to be making decisions on the field. I don't think this season and these last two games especially, I don't think he's earned the right to have an RPO out there on the field right now, because he's not using the R part of it. And Andy Reid basically said, we've got these RPOs. And then Mitchell Schwartz broke one down yesterday, and it's the first play of the game, and I'm like, whoa. He says, look, here's the linebackers. They're not even respecting the run. Everybody's just immediately dropping back in the pass coverage, and nobody's respecting the run. If Patrick Mahomes recognized that and handed the ball to Kareem Hunt, there was a gaping hole. He probably would have scored a touchdown on the first play of the game.
No. But,
I mean, that.
No,
I
he doesn't
mean,
have breakaway.
That was a 7-yard run.
If you watched the linebacker moving out of the play, that thing was wide open. That guy would have gone for 20 or 30 yards. Patrick Mahomes is making bad decisions this year. I will say that. I don't think Patrick Mahomes has made good decisions, okay? Especially the last eight games. And when you go back and you watch that first play, you got an 11-yard run with Rashee Rice on the sidelines, or you could have given it. He's totally not allowing his team to have the R in the RPO. He's not even going up there, and the defenses know that. They are not respecting the run right now. So decision-making on Patrick Mahomes, I will agree with. It sucked the last eight games.
Eight?
Or eight quarters, I mean.
Eight quarters.
Did
you send in that text?
No, the last eight quarters. But it's not his health or his ability. His decision-making has been terrible over the last eight quarters.
From the 913, he says, careful, guys. You mock him too much, you may lose a listener, LOL. And that only wildly emotional person would say to trade Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Look, no. It's erroneous on all accounts. Like, you would never. I mean, I remember, and I do kind of remember this, when the Chiefs smoked Tom Brady with that Alex Smith game in Kareem Hunt's first year, right? Mm-hmm. 2017. Yep. And everyone was like, is this it? Is Brady done? They were showing him on the bench. Should they start putting in Jimmy Garoppolo? Right. All that sort of stuff. So it's not like odd to see this happen. But look, I think if there's one person in the entire world that knows that Mahomes hasn't been good, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
Second.
Yeah.
So I am interested to see how he handles this, because hearing Kling's response to the game, how he was just sitting in his locker staring like, with that, what do they call that, like that 1,000-yard stare.
Despondent look, yeah.
Just like disheveled and lost. And it's like, okay, now it's your turn to prove that 2 weeks don't justify what you have done your entire career. And I do believe in Patrick Mahomes. I do believe that he can turn this around. But I don't think that it's his play that I'm concerned with. I think it's communication and something going on outside of the field of play. So we'll see. I mean, everybody's in gut check moment right now.
Absolutely they are. Andy, that's a great way to put it.
I mean, it's not just Mahomes. I mean, it's Andy, it's Spat. Like, everybody's been called out in some way, shape, or form. Mahomes' play decision, Andy Reid saying we call run plays, but I need to run the ball harder. Spags getting caught and, being predictable. He's out there. Chris Jones has been caught. Everybody's been caught this year that essentially is a star on this team. Xavier Worthy caught tipping pitches. Travis Kelce caught losing his cool on the sideline early in the season. Patrick Mahomes caught getting, proven that he's not going to run the ball. It's all there, black and white. And now it's up to the Chiefs to be like, hey, we are a 500 team. We are on the outside looking in. let's go change that. And it starts this week in Indianapolis.
You know, it's funny to have this thing called the run pass option when it really isn't an option because the quarterback refuses to hand the ball off. He wants to make the big play so bad that he's allowing himself to lose football games and make bad decisions because he wants to make the spectacular. Sometimes it's okay to be average. Sometimes it's okay to take the easy. Sometimes it's okay to be vanilla. You don't have to be the greatest thing on every single play. And that's what concerns me most about Patrick Mahomes. It always has. He tries to be the greatest thing in the world on every single play. And sometimes it's okay to be Tyrod Taylor. And sometimes it's okay to be Joe Flacco and hand that ball off and let your running backs do the work and take the pressure off of you. Because I've watched that play a lot from Mitchell Schwartz, the first play of the game. The way it was brilliant the way he broke it down. And you watch all the linebackers just run back and to their right. And if they hand the ball to Kareem, he's going forward to the left. And he would have, I mean, he would have just gone for a very, very, very big gain. And the fact of the matter is, for me, how much he would have gained or not, we don't know. But what we do know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is that Denver Bronco defense never once respected the GD run for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's an indictment. That is an indictment of this organization. They didn't even respect the run because they knew he wasn't going to do it. That has to change.
We'll revisit our poll question on a Wednesday. Plus, we'll get into what Colin Cowherd had to say about the Chiefs because it's pretty truthful here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.